Guess what, guys?
We're not doctors.
No, we are not.
So if you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor.
That includes diets, surgeries, and exercise.
We love you guys.
And we want you to continue to be in our OSLP family forever.
So be careful and consult your doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back, OSLP family.
Welcome, welcome.
I always have to do the thing with my arm.
She's always does something.
You're listening to our Sleep Life podcast, and this is Kelly.
And this is Mel.
And oh, we're feeling goofy today.
Yeah, we are.
We're actually getting hot weather right
it's
now.
It's so hot right now.
And speaking of hot weather, we have somebody that is really in hot weather right now because she lives in Vegas.
Yes. How cool is that?
Yes. So we have Miss Berry Boss herself.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
You guys are family.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Got some singing. Yeah.
Yes.
So first off, welcome. Welcome to the
show. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate you guys having me. This is amazing.
Yeah. And we want to start by asking about your journey.
For sure.
You also had BSG.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're. So I was sleeved back in January 13th, 2017.
Wow.
I actually was in a car accident 2014, 2015, jacked up my back and ended up, I've been overweight most of my life. So, you know, do the 50 pound gain, 50 pound loss, up and down, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And after the accident, couldn't quite keep the weight off because I kept re-injuring my back every time I would work out. So I'd seen a back surgeon and they're like, you know what, you're too young for back surgery and it might not even fix the issue. So a friend of mine had just had a sleeve done and she said, just check out a consult, see what happens. So unfortunately I was approved and less than 90 days later had the surgery.
Wow.
Less than 90 days.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I had been doing, you know, physical therapy, was on all the opioids, all that mess. Mm. And post-op, I was able to get off all the pain meds, which was amazing.
Yes.
So I could actually move again, which was really the whole reason I ended up doing the surgery.
Was your relief from the pain, was it immediate when you woke up?
Great question. It was probably within 30 days.
Okay.
Because immediately, as soon as the weight loss started, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And at the time my daughter was 3, I couldn't lift her. So I, you know, as a mom, when your kid's trying to get you to pick them up and I couldn't because of the pain in the back.
Oh no.
Once the surgery happened and I was healing, I could pick her up again. So
that was probably the best feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the reason why you're so special is because you're a certified life coach.
Yes. So I am by trade, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of Nevada, as well as a licensed clinical alcohol and drug counselor. And then about 3 years ago, decided to get on this journey and become a certified health and life coach.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
All of those things together are so unique.
Yes.
Because
it's been fun.
I bet.
You've learned so much because that's so three different careers.
And it's fun I can take some of the skill sets from counseling, but with coaching, because it's worldwide, so it's not recognized as a state licensure.
Okay.
So I can pretty much work with anybody, whereas when in the therapy world, I can work where I'm licensed in that state.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So it kind of frees it up a little bit more. So you can get
to
more people.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes. Worldwide, baby.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
You guys are so funny. Were you always an obese or was it just when you had the car accident? Because I've been a big girl my whole life. So.
Yep. Same. So I probably started gaining weight around age 7.
Okay.
When I really started to use food as my coping mechanism, some early childhood traumas kind of happened and food was the way I coped with everything.
Okay.
And so as a kid, I wanted to be Oprah and it was interesting because of course, watching her gain and lose and, you know, I just watched her on TV and I was like, man, I really can resonate with that because I was constantly, you know, I did the Slim Fast and I did Atkins and Weight Watchers and all of those things.
Okay.
But I could never seem to keep the weight off.
So
that was my struggle. So surgery really helped me get a handle on what was the underlying reason for the food. Mm-hmm. And so obviously I did years of therapy before becoming a therapist. So did a lot of my own individual work. And then post-op, I was quite surprised that, man, there's a lot of shit I still got to deal with. So I recognized that there was this need to really help people connect to themselves and figure out, we got to deal with the stuff that still lingers, right, in our minds post-op.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's such a mental game.
It's so funny because we literally just recorded an episode all about like mental health and how like we've had, you know, some breakdowns and like it's kind of like a mental block a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And it was so it's so really interesting that we had you on.
Yes.
For
seriously,
today.
These last few weeks have just been crazy with like we've been going through some shit and then like like we've been actually been able to talk to Bayer-Active therapists and people like you. And it's been like super helpful. But like the first week, it just was eye opening. And then it made us be a little depressed and stuff because we're like, ah, crap.
Yeah. Because like, you started like processing and dealing with the stuff that was going on that brought out.
Yeah. So we had to deal with some shit. And it was just interesting that like every week we've had a therapist on. And so it's like it's perfect timing, I think.
It is.
For the summer. Cleaning out the closet of all the crazy stuff that we didn't realize was there.
Yeah. Well, and the weather in Oregon has a lot to play with it. So it's like we're more depressed when it's raining and it's gray versus
for real
sunny.
Right.
So this week has been all sun.
I know.
It's been all good, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Better? Yeah.
I feel like a plant is my problem sometimes.
We are plants.
I know. Well, we're not plants.
We're like complicated house plants.
I know, but I feel like an actual like tomato plant or something like that grows. It has to, because with the light, it follows it and then it's sad and then it comes back up.
Yeah.
Well, we garden.
Houseplants.
No, well, the houseplants are jerks. They're really hard to take care of.
Yeah, so are we. Yes. Humans are jerks.
It's true.
They can be. And honestly, I just want to commend you two for bringing this issue to the forefront, because I think so many people really resonate with the messages that you give. You're very real about what you're going through, and having other people share their stories, I think it just brings us together, because I didn't realize there was such a whole subculture of folks post-op. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like a big family.
It really is.
It really is.
It's insane to think like you can you kind of look at your phone when it's blank and you're just like, I have like a whole family in there that people don't even realize that know me or like know that I know them. Like it's kind of crazy.
That's awesome.
And the days that I have like hard days because I'm battling with, you know, all the bullshit that's in my life. Like I'll post and I'll be like, you know, like trying really hard today to be, you know, positive, blah, blah, blah. And I'll get so many messages from people being like, you got this, you're amazing, you know, and it just kind of like boosts your,
absolutely,
your mood and yourself. So yeah, I love the bariatric community.
Seriously. I think
it's very supportive.
Yeah. We've all been through some trauma. We've all, like, it's not easy to get to this point where you need or want surgery. It's not like very true. Everyday decision that you get to like have to make. So
because again, it's not the easy way out.
No, normies.
That's right.
Simmer down.
I would agree.
It is not easy. It takes a lot of work. And like, I mean, I'm 2 years post-op and I'm still trying to figure out all of the stuff that goes on in my head. And then, you know, when trauma happens and you start back over again because all you want to eat is crumble cookies.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yes.
It's fine.
And honestly, I think COVID really, for me especially, things that I thought that I had dealt with were creeping up. And I was noticing that with my coaching clients, with my therapy clients, all this stuff was getting kicked up. So I'm super grateful for, you know, just platforms and abilities to be able to connect with others that are experiencing some similar shit.
Thank goodness that COVID happened during this time in history, to where we have the ability to Zoom call and
seriously
all of these things to like still connect with people, even if it's not face to face, because
because I didn't realize how much like we crave that until it's gone. So
until that's taken away.
So
Well,
back to you, ma'am.
So tell us how you became a life coach. Like what do you need to do and what does a life coach do?
Great question. So my journey was kind of interesting. So I was in an Uber heading on a business trip, and the gentleman who was driving the Uber happened to be a web designer. And I was like, hey, you know, can I get a card? Cause I'm thinking of starting this business and I might need a website. So fast forward about a year later, I found his card and I decided I wanted to create this company called Berry Boss. And I wanted to just provide support and information. I figured, you know, I'm just going to blog, just going to have a website and blog. So he turns out to be an inbound marketer by trade. So taught me all kinds of things, built me a beautiful website. And then I went back to Blossom Bariatrics where I had my surgery here in Vegas. And I just asked them, could I just blog on your website? Like just, you know, kind of maybe share some traffic. And they were like, well, actually we're looking for somebody like you to be able to work with our patients that are out of state. I was like, holy shit, this is not what I was expecting. So I quickly decided to research some different programs and I went through Health Coach Institute and signed up for an 18-month coaching program, met some amazing people, did some, you know, seminars and classes, and we were shadowing and doing all this training. And here we are. So now I'm fully certified as a health and life coach. So it was a crazy, it was not what I was expecting to do at all. And now here we are. So,
but you love it. You can tell that you love it. So
yes, like the people that I get to work with. And it was funny, I was having this conversation the other day. I get just as much from them as they get from me. We challenge each other. It's like, okay, I'm texting them throughout the week. All right, are you going to do your movement goals? And you know, they kind of get me to do my stuff because I'm recognizing, wait a minute, I'm giving this advice. Why the hell am I not doing this for myself?
Right. So,
you know, it's constantly keeping me fresh and on my toes. So I definitely enjoy it.
That's awesome. Because how long have you been doing it for now?
So about 3 years. I work with folks in an individual platform and then recently created an online academy. So it's a self-paced learning environment for folks that are busy and just want to get the information and practice on their own time. So it's been amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah. I love that because not everybody has copious amounts of time.
No, it's true. They don't, but they love to learn. Like that's the deal. Cause that's kind of like me. I'm like, I like to learn stuff, but on my time.
Exactly.
There's a lot. So with the people at the is it called Blossom?
Blossom Bariatrics.
Blossom Bariatrics.
Okay. So do you work with their patients that are going to be going through surgery then?
Great question. So typically I'm working with folks mostly post-op. Sometimes we'll do like discovery calls before the surgery and I'm kind of checking in to see like what support systems they have. Are they in the middle of any crazy life transitions, divorces, any recent deaths in the family? Because I'm always trying to rule out any kind of trauma that they may need to seek professional help in their state by a licensed therapist. And then if all of that's good and they're ready to rock and roll, we get, you know, get everybody signed up and we do a 12-week program. So,
12 weeks. That's awesome.
So, it's 12 weeks of therapy with you?
So, it's actually coaching. So, I don't do therapy just because I'm only licensed here in Nevada, but we're really just kind of uncovering and creating sustainable habit change for their life. So, I kind of take a look at what does their day to day look like? Where do we need to enforce some boundaries? What tips and tricks can we add into their daily lifestyle to make sure that they're successful post-op?
Okay. Do you find that by doing 12 weeks, it makes it kind of stick better?
I would say so. And honestly, a lot of the folks will tell me, you know, I was hearing you in my head the other day, you know, what you said in the last session and stuff like that. And so there's even some guided readings that I'll do and I send recordings over so they can listen to me at their computer. So, so yeah, and they'll text me pictures later on, like, hey, guess what? Remember that fear I talked about? I just went and did this. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a lifelong journey that I'm on with them. But in terms of like specific time for coaching, 12 weeks, but they can always re-up or if they want the academy, they can have that on their own time as well. So
that's amazing.
What does that look like if you did the academy portion?
So good question. The academy is more of a condensed version of the 12-week coaching series. So they'll get similar information, not as much individualized with me, but some of the folks that I work with like to do both. So they'll get the academy just as kind of a reminder. And then they work with me simultaneously. But again, then they get to keep learning, you know, even when we finish. So
yeah. And you can always go back to the beginning of the academy and redo.
And redo because it's a lifelong membership. So
That's interesting. So like it's one fee.
So, it's just one fee. And actually, I'm giving all of your listeners a 33% OSLP 33.
Holy
is the code.
Shit.
So for anyone that would like to check it out.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'll make sure you guys hit the link.
Yes, we will have it linked down below. I don't know why I always point down because...
Right. Just not swipe
everybody.
Up.
Not everybody gets the video.
No,
but
we don't.
I feel like I need to point. It's right down here. It's right down here.
So
or swipe right up.
You're distracting me.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
So say if like one of us wanted to go through this program, like what does that look like exactly? Like what are we learning? What's the end goal?
Great question. So typically I'm finding out from the client what their end goal is. So it's not necessarily, you know, I want to lose this much weight. Sometimes it's post-op 3 years and I'm noticing that I'm backsliding, getting into old habits, and we're trying to uncover what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because somebody will tell me, you know, gosh, like 3 months ago, I started eating like I used to eat. And then I'm like, well, what happened 3 months ago? Maybe a parent died or they lost their job. And so we kind of look at, so what do we need to put back into place? Mm-hmm. I've worked with people in recovery that have been sober from drugs or alcohol, and they've been able to be sober for 20 plus years. So I'm always looking for what are the skills that the person already has and how do we apply that to this issue?
So
the goals
that.
Are honestly just individual. It's whatever the person wants. If they're like, Tab, I just want to be able to look at myself and like myself. Great. Let's start there. And so we look at what is their motivating factor or their big mofa. And we just start there.
Mofa.
Yes.
So they would be doing this with you weekly. Is that like once a week?
Yep.
Or?
So it's once a week currently via Zoom. Now that things are lifting in Nevada, I can do in person again. But for those folks that are not in Nevada, then yes, it would be once a week via Zoom. I'll typically text once or twice a week, just kind of some encouraging information, checking in on some of the challenges that we might have set up for the week. Like, hey, did you get that, you know, exercise in today? Or how was your water today? And I'm not the type of coach that, you know, cusses people out like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm more just, I'm coming alongside. I'm trying to encourage and just, you know, give them that boost and support. So,
you know, I've heard it's really good to have a coach with you.
Yes.
Because like someone like that's not like a part of this whole vicinity, you know, of what's going on.
Right.
Because then you can see it as like a back eye and like give advice of what's going. Because like I think we could totally benefit to have a coach.
Maybe.
I think we totally could.
Maybe my crumble addiction needs to come to a screeching halt.
Because it's someone actually checking on you at all times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's always someone.
I might someone. Know someone. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We could work this out.
I think we're going to be messaging you after this.
Let's do it.
Because I can just see all the benefits from that. Because it's just like, no matter what, you have a cheerleader on your side.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, and that's kind of comforting.
Exactly. And if I notice that something is maybe bordering on, you know, probably could use a therapist, then I link them to resources in their area. So if it's a support group, you know, I've got folks that I've worked with that were in the middle of a divorce mid program. And so we're quickly triaging and I'm getting them the help that they need in that regard.
How cool.
So it's, you know, I love the fact that I can pull from different tools that I've already got. But again, I have to stay within my scope because I'm only licensed in Nevada as a therapist. So just a reminder, I'm not doing therapy.
She's not doing therapy. She's anybody that's
therapy.
Listening.
Yes.
This is all coaching.
This is all
coaching. It's a 12-week program.
So it's it's life and health coach, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure I said it correctly. So you can kind of, I don't know, I just feel like the sentence or the, when you said people pick their own goals.
Yes.
I really like that because not everybody is the same. You know, when we talk about that, like not comparing your journey to somebody else's journey and like my end goal may not be the same as Mel's end goal.
Right.
And so I really like that. I really do. And so I'm trying to think of like what mine would be.
Right.
What's my end goal?
Your end goal. And so would I only get you for 12 weeks or just forever?
I only get you for 12 weeks.
So, you know, I was actually going to say I'm going to see you guys in November at the retreat, by the way. So I'm super excited to hear you speak.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can also, there's individualized sessions after the 12 weeks that we can always, you know, unpack. So we'll figure that out.
I'm just saying, I can just see those going somewhere. Anyways,
I like how she's just like automatic. Like, so I only get you for 12 weeks.
I know.
So let's get down to the bottom line here.
I don't know, guys. Yes. I just feel connected right now. So I was like, let's do this.
I appreciate that.
I like it. So this is a very interesting like way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for the folks that I work with from Blossom, so typically I work alongside the dietitian, Blossom's dietitian. So he really works more on the food stuff. Yeah. I always tell people, Alex is your food guy. I'm your thought gal, because I'm really working on this, you know, is kind of my game with that. So
sweet.
I love it.
All right.
Yeah.
That works. So since you have an alcohol and drug addiction background.
Okay, great question. Yes. I know it's coming, so that's a good question.
Can I ask you questions about transfer addiction?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because I've been trying to find somebody to ask questions to.
Yes.
Because it's very common in the bariatric world.
Yes.
To have transfer addiction. Why is that?
And what does that look like?
Ooh, great question. So I will share a little story about me.
Okay.
So when I first had surgery, you know, obviously we're not drinking, we're not eating the things that we're used to having as our crutch. And I noticed that every time I was going shopping, I was buying pajamas.
Oh.
And I didn't understand why. And they weren't expensive. It was just, I was looking for the softest, most comfortable pair of pajamas. Mm. And it came time to, I had 20 pairs of pajamas and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? And a friend of mine was like, Tab, you're seeking comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how did I not see that? Like, I'm in the field, guys. Like, but again, like, so transfer addiction is really, we're laying something down, but typically we're picking something up, right? Mm. So it could be, I live in Nevada, so it could be gambling. You know, maybe I'm not eating, now I'm gambling. Mm. Maybe I'm obsessed with the gym and I'm going to the gym three times. You know, anything in excess can become an addiction, right? It doesn't just have to be a food or a drug. It can be an activity. It could be porn. It could be shopping. It could be gaming. Mm. You know, I mean, you name it, social media. Mm. So it's typically we're looking for what is the reason why I'm seeking that thing? What is it trying to replace? And so for me, I was looking for, I wanted to feel comfortable. I wanted to feel good. And I was missing my food. So for me, it was just, okay, let me just get in some comfy jammies. And that was it for me, you know? So it's not uncommon that we see a lot of folks post-op that will switch to alcohol because again, we process it a lot faster. We get, you know, buzz a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. And so people can easily kind of go down that slope. Mm-hmm. So you're just checking your motives. Like what is the reason why that I'm doing this? Especially if I notice I'm doing a lot of it.
So how do you know if it's causing harm?
Ooh, that's a great question. So there's a few ways. So one, let's say I feel like this is just a harmless activity, no big thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just binge watching Netflix every day for like 6-7 hours a day. Okay. But maybe I'm starting to ignore my responsibilities. Mm. I'm not going to work. My kids aren't eating nourishing foods because I'm in front of the TV. People are starting to get mad. So when you notice that either A, your responsibilities are slipping or B, other people are talking about it, like, man, why you keep doing all that? Da, da, da. That's when you start to look, is this a problem? Mm. You know what I mean? So, that's kind of been my experience.
Okay.
That's an easy way to. No, that does, because that's an easy way to like relate instantly. Like, because you start thinking, like, wait a minute. Okay. Yes or no?
Right. Yes.
Because I've done the work thing. That's what will happen to me. That's how I know.
The workout.
Makes sense.
No, like work.
Oh, you focus completely on work?
No, I just don't want to go.
Oh.
Yeah. It goes the opposite way. I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, nope.
Okay.
Don't want to do that today.
Yes.
That's a future Melanie problem.
Yep.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Oh, so I was kind of thinking about it, and it's like I do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're talking, I'm like, okay, so I'll maybe shop a little bit more.
I saw it on your face when she was doing it. It was so funny.
Yes.
Or I'll watch a lot of TV in one point.
Right.
Or I'll drink a little bit more, like, over a couple weekends. Like, am I searching for that? You think?
Right.
I mean.
Well, and like, something to consider that honestly, when I started this company 3 years ago, I had no idea we were going to be in the middle of a pandemic, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm also trying to get people to normalize what we've all been through in the last year and a half. So if you're noticing, especially in the last year and a half, that certain things have creeped up a little bit more than usual, even ask yourself, and I tell my clients all the time, give yourself some grace. We've been through some trauma as a world, you know what I mean? And so how did that impact our food? Folks that were used to being in the office and now they're at home, and guess what? The pantry's right there. And they're homeschooling their kids in the next room. And so we got all the snacks and we're trying to do our job and teach the kids and do all the shit. How do you do that? We weren't built for that.
No.
So just looking at, well, how did this happen? And then we just, you know, for me, I seek accountability, because when I know that I'm doing something too much, I text people. I'm like, hey, you know what? I need some accountability here. Can you guys check me? And they don't have to necessarily be a therapist, a coach. They're just my people. They know me well enough to call me on my shit. So, because trust.
Over
the last 15 months, have I shopped? Have I binged? Have I drank? Absolutely. I'm human. Right? You know what I mean? But we have to just recognize, what's the motivation behind it?
Okay.
And is this something that's creating a deficit in other areas of my life? Like, is my health suffering? Are my relationships suffering? Is my job suffering? Like, looking at those pieces can tell you if it's too much or not.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cause I'm thinking, like, not only was there COVID for the last, you know, year and a half, whatever.
Right.
And then I'm in the middle of a divorce.
Yes.
And that's, I'm finding myself again.
Yes.
Like, so I'm trying to like take that into account of like, okay, so maybe I'm like trying to find fun. Maybe that's what I'm doing. Cause I mean, I'm not like destructive.
No, you're not. I don't think you're doing anything in excess. Like I would really, Ian.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You would. Yeah. So, I mean, it's fine. Don't worry.
I'm just, you know, you think about those things like, cause you know, people talk about transfer addiction and how easily you are to kind of develop habits after bariatric surgery.
Exactly.
So I just, I don't know. It's a constant like worry that I'm like going to overdo it.
Well, and the fact that you're worrying tells me that you're probably not there, because typically if I've gone over the edge, I ain't worried about it.
Okay. Yeah, you're not worried.
I'm so far into it. I'm not even, I'm not tripping.
Yeah.
Okay. Then that's what I was going to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to preface it with the work thing. It's where, like, I'll get too stressed out somewhere else, and I'm just like, I can't do anything now. Like, it's just no work. That's what I do.
But everybody needs a mental health day.
Right? So I think that's normal.
It's true.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Like, taking mental health days are normal, right?
Yeah.
So I usually don't use the word normal as much.
Awesome.
However, taking a mental health day is imperative.
Oh.
I will say that.
Okay.
Imperative. And as a therapist, I'm also a very huge proponent for the field, and I'm always checking my colleagues, because again, we didn't go to school being trained to know that we were going to work in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, right.
How often do we experience the same thing that our clients are experiencing at the same time?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
No.
So we're making sure we take care of ourselves, self-care, accountability, all of that. So,
what would you do? Like, what was your way of like doing self-care so you could handle?
Yeah.
These people.
I got back into therapy.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't even necessarily handling the people. It was more just the stuff that was coming. It was constant. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Started running again.
Okay.
Dealing with just, you know, connecting, because again, we weren't as social, but making sure that I was intentional with texting people, calling people, Zoom calls, just making sure I wasn't alone, because when I isolate, that's when I get into trouble.
Okay.
I've struggled with depression and anxiety most of my adult life, so I definitely understand all of that mess.
All of those feelings.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I do the same thing as you. I isolate.
Mm-hmm. I do the same thing.
And I don't want anybody to talk to me. I don't want any, I use the term zone out when I'm like too stressed.
Yeah, I learned that, because she was like, I just need to zone out. And I was like, you can do that just sitting normally. I don't know what you mean by zoning out. And she's like, no, like nothing. And I'm like, got it.
Like no phone, no people, no nothing. I want to lay in my bed and watch Netflix.
Yeah.
Like that's all I want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's, but there's a certain point where it can go like the bad way.
Yeah, you just have to. Mm-hmm.
Usually Mel knows when to like pull me back out. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a question for you.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
I was trying to think of what it was.
So what are the steps if you're noticing that you have transfer addiction? what would you recommend people do?
So depending on what the addiction is or the, let's say, activity, mm-hmm. If it's something that is costing a lot of money, a lot of time, mm-hmm. or some health potential issues, right? If it's, you know, drugs or alcohol, mm-hmm. I would probably say at least have an accountability partner and say, you know what, this is something I like to do. Mm. I just need you to check me if I go too far. You know what I mean? And if it's really becoming an issue and you're, you know, losing a job over it, you're losing relationships over it, then you might want to look at some treatment, some professional counseling, whether it's with a duly licensed therapist, someone who can treat mental health and substance use. Mm-hmm. Just depends kind of what the transfer addiction is.
Okay. All right.
I figured it out.
Okay.
So, because I didn't realize I was experiencing anxiety or depression until like way late in the game. But now looking back, I realized I was going through it. Can you as a professional explain a little, what does that actually feel like to someone like that might not realize they're having it?
True. And so this is where it gets a little interesting too, because all of us experience anxiety in different ways.
Right.
You know, for me, I notice it's all in my body. And mm-hmm. so I can tell that, you know, if I'm super anxious, I might withdraw from activities or I might just completely just say, nope, I'm not doing it. Like even being anxious for this show, right? Like I had to prep and breathe and do all the things that I know to do. But I think, you know, as you get to know yourself really well, and I think we learn who we are through this process, mm-hmm. just start to notice, like, what are some of the thoughts that are coming up? Like, are you having a lot of negative thoughts? Are you kind of stuck in some old tapes that are going on? Okay. So a lot of people think depression is just, you know, I didn't get up and shower today. I didn't want to talk to anybody. That's not necessarily the case. I could be completely functioning, but still dealing with depression. So each person is going to experience it a little bit differently.
Okay.
You know, for some people, they completely shut down and isolate. Some people, they might know they're experiencing some kind of issue because they do start to overshop or overdo whatever the activity is, right? Because they're trying to wrestle and deal with whatever this emotion is, mm-hmm. but they're not comfortable with facing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, let me just distract. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's going to show up in so many different ways. So it's hard to answer that question succinctly.
No, you did a good job.
I think you did.
You explained it real well.
Yeah, because like with the anxiety for me, like it's more like social anxiety. That's what I'll get, like in crowds. Mm-hmm. And so like I didn't realize it until I was like 25 that I had the problem until I was at Nike.
Yeah.
And Woodburn, and our Nike is so packed.
It's nuts.
It's so nuts. Mm-hmm. And so like, I would just stand there like this. And then Eric's like, how about you go sit down and I'll just bring shoes to you. And I was like, oh, I'm having like an anxiety problem.
Yeah.
That's nuts. I had no idea. I was like, oh, okay. Now I know what that is.
People don't understand.
Right. Yeah. Because you don't know what the feeling really is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what sad is. You know what happy is. And like, frustrated, but you really don't know like what anxiety actually is or depression.
Well, and like Todd said, like it shows up different in everybody. Like my anxiety is like heart palpitations. Mm-hmm. I start like I can't function. Like I can't think about anything else because I'm so overwhelmed that it's causing like a panic attack.
Yeah,
and honestly, we're seeing like this increase with anxiety and depression right now because, again, during COVID, we'd cut off a lot of, you know, social connection and things that we really took for granted potentially, right? And now we're like, we can't have those things. And so, but equally, we're seeing this stuff increase as we go back to regular life because we're like, man, I don't even know how to engage with a person outside of a screen. Maybe I've been working at home all these months and I only go to the grocery store. I just stay home completely. So what does that look like now to say hello in the store and I can see your whole face? And
you know, I got to go to my first comedy show again. It was over a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I miss seeing Nikki Glaser and Jim Jefferies because of COVID. And I was like, oh, and we finally got to go.
Yes.
We saw Tom Papa and he's amazing.
Awesome.
But it was weird because like we really only see our friends, right? Like we literally go to the store and just see our family and friends. Like there's no like extras. So it was real strange being inside in a table next to people that you have no idea who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did it really well. Cause like there's someone like right on you. Mm-hmm. There were a whole table in between. So it was pretty cool, but it was like, You're like, hey, do I wear my mask? Do I not wear a mask? Like,
yes.
Are they going to get mad? But I'm vaccinated. I don't know what we're supposed to like. You just feel weird because you're like, this is my first time. Like, because restaurant was fine because you just walk in with your mask, you sit down, you know what to do. But that was like a little crazy to be around that many people again.
Mm-hmm. I went into Lowe's for the first time without my mask.
Yeah. Oh, so weird.
And I am vaccinated. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm doing my part, right? Mm-hmm. But it was just weird not wearing masks. Like, I felt like I was doing something so wrong.
Like, exactly. Like, I was dirty.
Like,
yes.
I was like, I know. Oh, no. I mean, I could just put my mask on.
Right?
Like, it's fine.
I totally get it.
I don't mind. It's okay.
Yeah.
I went to church for the first time since COVID on Sunday, and it's like in the dark, and I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, nobody has a mask on. I've been vaccinating. Okay, Lord, I'm good. Right? Like,
right?
I don't know. You just. It did feel weird, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like, I did all the things, right? Like, I wore it the whole time. I didn't get it.
Yes.
Got my vaccine.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I feel accomplished a little bit.
Exactly. It still causes anxiety, though, because you're like, oh, my gosh, what do I do? Like, what if somebody yells at me and tells me? I don't know.
It's true.
All of that.
And I don't have my vaccinated card on me. Like, I just have it.
Your vaccinated card?
Yeah. My vaccine card. I have it at in my office. So I'm like, what if they question it?
You need to put it in your car.
Yeah, or take a picture of it on your phone.
Oh, thank you. Because I'm like, I can just put it in my safe. Yeah, I like to. Let's just do a photo. That's
I have cool. mine in my visor, my car.
Awesome.
Nice. So I wanted to go back to when you said reviewing old tapes.
I like that.
Yeah.
The real is what I call it.
What is that?
Yes. Oh, old tapes. A lot of times, like, I'll disclose for myself. So I was the chubby kid all throughout life. Mm-hmm. And I remember at age 10, this kid on the playground was like, you know, Tabitha, you'd be really pretty if you just lost 10 pounds. Like, I can still remember that. I'm 42 and I can remember at 10.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So just hearing some of those old tapes, whether it's, you know, a person that said something to us, a parent, a babysitter, a friend, an ex-boyfriend, we're still ruminating on those thoughts. And it might periodically show up. Like, we thought, oh man, that's been done. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we still talk about, like, the fat brain and looking at yourself in the mirror. And even though I've lost 100 pounds, sometimes I still see myself as 230 pounds. And I'm like, and the old tapes start. Oh, Tab, you know, if you would just lose 10 pounds, or, you know, my
it's
dad
like that
made
little
a comment.
Kid.
Yeah.
Because she said this on one of our episodes about the little kid, that you still remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because I have stretch marks on the back of my arms and I hate them. Mm-hmm. And, but I didn't know that I hated them until this little kid that I was babysitting, he didn't know anything. He wasn't doing it meanly. Mm-hmm. He just said, what's the marks on, what's that on the back of your arm? Mm-hmm. And I was so, like, totally embarrassed by it. Mm-hmm. And I still flash back to that.
Yep.
And that was, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe more. Like, and I still remember that.
Yeah, mine's, you know, mom telling me I will never be able to fit in pants and jeans.
Or that you have man hands.
Yeah, but that's not your mom.
No,
but
just
yes,
saying.
I did say that you had man hands when I was 12, 13 years old, and it stuck with her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yes.
But yes, my mother saying that I would never, because she thought that all you could wear, like, only small people could have jeans. Mm-hmm. Like, I realize what her thought process is now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, she just assumed that, oh, you have to be skinny to wear jeans. Because she didn't, her family really didn't. It was like dresses or just, what are those, stirrup pants or whatever? Yeah.
Leggings.
Yeah. Leggings, like, yeah. So, like, I don't think she realized, like, oh, no, there's, like, sizes for all parties here.
Yes. True. And one of the topics that we get into often for coaching is just that body legacy and what was the messaging that our family gave us around food and weight and how does that still impact us post-op? Because for many of us, I wasn't thinking about it when I was like, sweet, they're cutting out my stomach, I'm going to be all good.
Yep.
But that stuff is still there. And especially navigating those relationships post-op, you're still, you know what I mean? And we talk a lot about, you know, we may have represented a certain role in the family. You know, for me, I was always the chubby one. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm no longer the chubby one, what does that do for the dynamic of the relationship with everybody in my family? And now they can no longer, you know, make those comments or whatever, or, oh, you're getting too skinny, or, you know, those types of things. So it's a whole situation.
It is. It definitely is. I can definitely relate yeah. to that. Because for the longest time, I was sick. Mm-hmm. I was the person that laid in bed and because I couldn't get out of bed for the most part. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go to family functions. I didn't do anything. And so I lost myself during that time.
100% dead.
And I didn't realize that my marriage was also making me lose myself. So it was doubly stuffing me down.
It is interesting. Like, maybe we can talk offline more about this, but like, what is
interesting? I'm an open book.
True story. Where it is interesting to where, like, because me and Kelly have been best friends since, 13, 14, something like 20 that?
20 years.
Yeah, it's been 20 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, but what people don't know, there's a 3-year gap of no, we did not talk to each other.
Okay.
And so, what's interesting though is like, that happened and then you kind of changed and then you married Cody and like, you lost, like, 100%.
I lost myself.
Because when we finally became friends again and then we started like hanging out more. Mm-hmm. And then like now that you've had surgery, I'm like, this is the Kelly I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the one that I like fell in love with as a best friend. Like this is her. Like it's just like she was gone for a little bit.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Like, stuffed down.
Yeah. Which is weird because like when we were together as friends, she was like tough, you know, like fuck you. Yeah. And like now she's not as much like that. Mm-hmm. It's coming out. It's coming out. It's great. It's great. Like, but, you know, like, she's not going to put up with people treating her like shit. Yes. Like, that's what it was. And, like,
discovering my boundaries.
Yeah, boundaries.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Things I will tolerate and absolutely. I can kind of work with. Mm-hmm. And then things that are flat out, like, no, that does not work for me. Like, telling me what to do. No. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a discussion about that.
So true.
If you tell me to do something in a kind way or a like, hey, could you do this? Totally fine.
Yeah.
But if you talk to me in a condescending tone, I will take your head off.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And you should. Because you got to deal with that.
I spent 14 years being talked down to. Mm-hmm. So I really don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. And so if you're going to do that,
be forewarned.
Peace. Love.
Bye.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there was a lot. And speaking of shopping, I didn't realize until after my divorce that that's how I coped.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I knew that right away.
I had no clue. I just like to shop.
You shopped a lot.
I did shop a lot. And but that's how I coped with having a not so great marriage.
Oh, I know.
Was by spending.
I thought it was because of your sickness. Mm-mm. Is what I, because you were bedridden for 3 years and has lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and fibromyalgia. Like, I thought you were just depressed, so you wanted to shop to feel good.
No, because I shopped even after surgery.
Oh, true story.
Yeah. Mm. But then the moment that my soon-to-be ex left, I was like, go.
Yeah.
I don't need to shop.
I got all the things.
I really didn't have any money to shop, but I didn't like, I wasn't like obsessing about it, right?
Like the urge was.
No, I was just like, okay, cool. I don't like, I would see things and be like, oh, I need, because I would always buy backups, right?
So you are like the
I
backup
like to have
queen.
Backups. So if I have like a bottle of soap and it's like half gone, I like to have a backup so that just in case I put off going to the store for 6 months, I still have a backup.
No, you have a backup for a backup.
I like having backups.
Like, this is, and I know we're totally off topic, we'll bring it back, but this is hilarious. So she got me on this power wash stuff, right? And I know this is goofy, but it's a Dawn power wash.
And stuff works.
Okay? It works amazing. Awesome. Got the amazingness grease that was around my stove. Oh, gone. I thought nothing would ever get it go. So
get it go.
But it comes in a 2-pack, right? And I put one down, but start using the other one. I get just like a little bit down on the first one. And Kelly's like, you should probably go buy another one. And I was like, why? I already have one, like, a backup. She's like, no, because, like, you're going to get into that one. You're going to be better. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I'm not afraid to go to the store. Like, I can just do that. I don't understand. Right.
I like to put off going to the store as long as physically possible. Unless I can have it delivered or I can just, nope, just delivered.
It's just delivered.
Just delivered. Yeah. I don't like to go to the store.
You don't.
Well, there's some grocery security shopping. There.
Yeah.
There's what?
Some security, it sounds like, in that backup. Some extra.
Yes. Ooh, I like to have.
Coach, find it. Yeah.
The backup so I don't have to worry if anything happens.
But did you hear what she said?
I got you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Security. Mm-hmm. That's what Cody was security.
We can unpack that later.
Yeah. Cool. No, I definitely do things because of I'm lacking companionship or I didn't have security.
Right. You crave security.
I crave security.
Yes, you do.
Gotcha. Because I didn't.
Because your dad.
Because my dad. I have daddy issues. That's we all know this. It's fine.
I think many of us do.
I was going to say, most of us do. If it's not daddy, it's mommy. So it's fine. Yeah. It's one of them. Yeah.
So
one of them fucked up. It's fine.
Like, yeah, there's always it's one. It's fine. Kelly says it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't ever around. I didn't really know him. I think I've probably met him like 4 times in my entire life. The last time I saw him was... Fiona graduated 8th grade and Fiona is 33 now.
So
years ago. Yeah.
Decades ago.
Yeah. So I definitely, and I thought by marrying Cody that was my security because I was like, he's nothing like my dad. He's nothing like my dad. Nope. Turns out he was exactly like my dad because he left.
But yeah, because you didn't know who really your dad was.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No. And Cody was an amazing provider. So that's the deal.
Monetarily.
That's a provider. That's what I'm talking about. Just providing the stuff.
The stuff.
The stuff.
Yeah. When I say provider, I think of like providing for your family, like emotionally.
Oh, no, it's physically. Money. It's all money. It's all money. Yeah. All right. So that's what he was amazing for. Yeah. That's what he was.
Economically.
That's what he was good for was just the money section.
Just the money section. Yep.
Oh, and the care behind it. Like he wanted to give you these things.
So, well,
for at least some sort of extent.
Yeah. Right.
But anyways, back to Tabitha.
You missed my face.
No worries.
No, I saw your face.
Anyways, so what were we talking about before we went on that tangent?
So random.
We talked about process addiction. We were talking about old tapes.
The old tapes. Old tapes.
Yes.
Yeah. I call it the reel is what I do.
Love it.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll spin it and then I'll cry. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why did I do that damn thing?
Why did I spin the reel? Don't spin the reel, people.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
So. Yeah. I do a lot of that, especially with the divorce. I think I've been like going back to like the very beginning of our relationship. I'll go to like the middle. I bounce around,
like,
but
check-ins.
I like focus on it. Like I'm hyper focused on what happened in the past, even though what happened in the past has nothing to do with I can't change that.
Yeah, but you're connecting. It seems like you're kind of connecting the dots. I'm
trying to make sense of it.
Yeah.
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 Usually in coaching, if like, let's say you were my client, I'd probably ask, do you notice if that shows up in anything that you do as far as food? Mm-hmm. Does that? And then I would just kind of go backwards and kind of understand, okay, what was I thinking about as I grabbed that food or as I was thinking about that food?
Yeah, I do it at night.
Okay.
So I'll put on a show and then I'll start thinking about like something will happen in the show and it'll make
trigger.
Me think of something from our marriage or whatever. And then I'm like, then I start thinking and then I'm like, I'm hungry.
Yep.
Or I haven't seen anybody all day except for my dogs. Mm-hmm. And then I'm hungry.
Well, this is what's cool is that you're aware, though. Yeah, like
exactly.
I was going to say years ago, I don't know if I wouldn't have been here either. Like the whole why happened. Mm-hmm. The whole why actually started when dad died was the why.
Mm-hmm.
And then the surgery was like 1.5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, why are we stressing out so much?
Yeah.
Because we're complicated.
Yeah. And I realized like why I do it. I just like I was trying to figure out like, I didn't realize my mom's just high strung. And so I was just trying to like, why is she so stressed right now? Like I would just question all of that. Now I'm like, this makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
and honestly, I just teach people, it's kind of an old recovery acronym, and it's called HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Yes.
So
yes. And I haven't heard that.
So just kind of check in with yourself. Like what is my motivation? Am I really truly hungry or am I lonely? Am I just tired?
Yeah, no, remember I heard that on Whitney Cummings' podcast and I told you. I was like, it's HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Tired, yeah.
It works.
All four.
All four. I got them all.
And no, I'm saying most of the time I'm all four.
All four? Okay.
Well, Sometimes I will maybe just really need to think about it and figure out which one you really are, though. You know? Because it helps. It totally helps. Because I've done it where it's like, oh, I'm just lonely. You know? And sometimes it's just because I'm angry. So like, it's like, you know, I can feel tired and angry at the same time. But which one's like dominating this force right now, you know? So because that has helped me. Like I am that. 6 years post-op and I'm like, my lows is 179 and I still have I have around 192. So like I'm going to maintain for a while. And I think it's because you have to talk to yourself all the time. You really do. Yeah. You got to almost become friends with yourself, which sounds weird, but.
So no, I'm right there. Totally true. I think that up until 6 months ago, I didn't even like myself.
Well,
I get that.
And so I'm slowly getting. Because I don't think there was any like I didn't recognize myself. Number one, I had lost all this weight physically. So I didn't recognize myself physically. Mentally, I was still trying to catch up with what happened. And then like. Personality wise, I didn't know.
You didn't know.
I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know what I didn't like. I didn't know anything. And so I think that's another reason why I kind of like am looking for that fun aspect of like, okay, let's drink this weekend or let's, I'm going to go shopping because I don't want to be not having fun. I feel like I'm, I like wasted enough time.
No, I
does that make sense?
I think this journey kind of does that to a lot of us because we now can do more things, right?
Right.
Like, did you go through a stage like that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still in it. So I posted the other day, we some friends of mine, we did some bungee fitness.
Yes, you did.
I would not have done that at 230 pounds. But I mean, just being sort of able to, you know, get in this thing and fly around the room, like, I felt so free.
How
you know,
cool is that? Trust falls, that? I did. Like, I showed it to her. I was like, look, look what they're doing.
So much fun.
Okay.
Super liberating. You got to check it out.
Yes.
What is that called?
So it was a bungee fitness class. So if you guys are over in Vegas, I'll send you the link. Just check in your area if they offer anything like that. Because we have Cirque du Soleil, so they're always training dancers and all that. But I'm not that good. I just wanted to fly around the room.
Right?
I did cartwheels. I did things that I haven't done in 20 years. So
it was. Oh my goodness. I can just picture us.
I can picture me like running around the room. Really fast. And then just
felt like Superwoman.
Or Wonder Woman.
There you go.
There you go. Do it, girl. Very nice. When when someone comes to you though for like the coaching stuff, like what is like the first thing that you're asking them?
Ooh, really good question. So I kind of want to know what is sort of their day-to-day look like?
Okay.
Like what is, you know, what kind of work schedule do they have, especially with COVID? Are you working from home? Are the kids home with you? Because I need to know sort of what the stressors are so we can start to put things in place. Because it's not uncommon that people are stress eating.
Okay.
So I'm either looking to how do we decrease certain stressors or put things into place for them to use instead of. Sometimes it's, you know, putting a picture of their previous self at a smaller weight in front of the pantry door, just so they can look at them. It's like a, we call it an anchor or a pattern interrupter, something that's going to say, you know what, why am I, what's the reason that I'm going in there? Like, I don't want to do that. You know, for some folks, I'm just wanting to know like where are they at with themselves mentally? Like, do they like themselves?
Okay.
And what do they want to see in 12 weeks? Like, what would they like to see differently? You know, now folks that I work with can look at themselves in the mirror and not look away. You know, they used to be hypercritical of certain body parts and things like that. And so they're able to say like, Tab, I feel like I love myself. Like I can look at myself and be okay with my nose or my hips or my legs or whatever body part that we're critical of, you know? So it just kind of depends on the person, where they're at. And I just dive right in and see, okay, what can we put into place today?
I just love that it's all like based on the individual. It's not like just a one size fits all type of program. Like you really try to get to know them and understand like how their mind works and what you can like help them kind of enhance in themselves. So I love that. I really do.
So you do, like you said, you do the mind and the other person does the food.
Yep. So, he's going to get them. So Alex might refer me somebody, hey, you know, I've worked with them in terms of all their protein and what they need to be eating. So their diet's on point. They're still tripping themselves up with self-sabotage. Mm. So I'm going to hand them over to you. And so then I really work with them on what's going on up here. You know, okay. Why are we tripping up? And especially when I start to see like, oh, we've got all of these things that we're dealing with. They're in the middle of a divorce or a job change or somebody just died and COVID. And okay, let's slow it down and figure out what do we need to get rid of? Do we just need to get rid of the junk food in the house? Mm. Do we just need to set boundaries with certain family members that continue to bring us the stuff we're not supposed to eat? Like, what does that look like? And sometimes it's navigating relationships, that are maybe toxic that they're dealing with. So that's where like the life coaching comes in, where it's more like, okay, again, I'm not your counselor, but how is this relationship impacting your relationship with food? Right. I always bring it back to the food and back to the desire to eat, because so much of our daily lives does impact the way we eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Like, I didn't recognize the grieving process that I had to go through because so much of my life was social and going out to parties and, you know, barbecues, and all this stuff was centered around food and drinking. Mm. So how do I live now?
Yeah.
And make this make sense for me. You know what I mean? So I was kind of irritated initially, like, man, these people are eating and drinking and I had two bites and I'm full. This is some bullshit, you know?
Don't they know what we're going through?
Yes. And then I had to get mad, and I wasn't the type of person that would get angry. Mm. And so I really had to learn how to deal with my anger that was always stuffed down because of the food. I was constantly soothing, you know, but now it had nowhere to go.
I can relate with that.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I know Mel can, because she had a couple breakdowns when she couldn't have her food.
Well, because she got to have 6 months worth of therapy.
Yes.
And I got a phone call.
Got it.
How long was the phone call?
Like 10, 15 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. So it was kind of the questions that you were asking in the beginning, like, is there any divorces? Right. Is there any deaths recently? How's work going? Like, it was like, what was my environment, basically, is what they were trying to figure out. And then that was it. They're like, yeah, you're fine. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. But like, no, like, I mean, I was fine, but like, I didn't know that I was going to have some breakdowns down the road of like, I'm so angry I can't put food in here. Like, why am I so angry that I can't put food in here? And just crying, and my husband being like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea right now. Don't know what this is. I'm trying to figure out the fuck this is right now. Because I've never felt that before. And so it's like, we preach all the time, do these coachings, find a therapist, a bariatric therapist if you can, because like you just don't know, and you don't know what you don't know, right?
True, so exactly.
And until you experience it sometimes.
So. Well, and I think we are, I mean, we're prone to self-soothe, no matter what that is, you're going to self-soothe.
Right.
And when you're self-soothing with food, you don't necessarily understand the action and the result of that action. So, I did the same thing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, and realizing, because like, now that we know, like, okay, we were soothing by food. Now you have to figure out something else to soothe with.
Yes.
And that's what's kind of hard. Is like,
it is really
and that's
hard.
Where I feel like a lot of us go through the whole, like, I don't know what I like. And we just start, like, trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
And so, I think have fun with it. You know, decide, is it like, I'm probably going to take up pickleball this summer. I've never played it, but I'm like, you know what? I want to do something. I want to get the kids active. Mm. Let's get out and do something different. Mm-hmm. You know,
get out of the house.
Sometimes I color, you know, I've been doing a lot of those like mandalas and things like that. Mm-hmm. Cause again, I'm a therapist, so I know all the tools to do. Mm-hmm. I just have to do them.
Yes.
So,
and the hardest part is just actually doing them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm having an hell of an issue getting like to work out. Like I don't know what it is, but it's just like I have this block in my brain where I'm just like, nope, that's not happening.
Yeah, we all go through that. It's weird.
So we actually, part of the 12-week program is I tie pleasure with movement and teaching people how to crave movement. So we can definitely talk about
Jana Wolf talks about that. She's a registered dietitian, and she talks about like pairing the bad thing with the good thing, like doing those.
Exactly.
So like I clean with podcasts going
because the podcasts are good. Yeah. Well, but you like cleaning.
I think I like cleaning now because of I was listening to podcasts and music all the time. Because the cleaning, me liking cleaning did not start until after a release. I mean, I like my house clean, but now it's like clean, you know, like there's a level. Yeah, there's levels. Because I can like bend down and get in corners and realizing like, I realized why I was so afraid of the bathroom. It's because I was bigger.
Yeah.
Like cleaning it. I used to be like, I hate cleaning this thing.
I was like, where are we going with this?
Yeah, no. And it's just
the actual room.
The room.
She does not like being in the bathroom.
Yeah, because I was like, cleaning it is just, it's a pain. You're sweaty and icky and just like, now it's not a problem. Like I barely sweat cleaning the bathroom.
Right.
It takes so
quick.
Yeah. It's just, you don't realize like how much the weight really was affecting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's in like so many random ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like I like taking baths during the winter because it's warm. It's cozy. It's like self-care. And when you're bigger, it's kind of embarrassing because your whole body doesn't fit in the water. Yeah. And you're like a kind of like a beached whale. You're just like flopping around and you're just like, what's the point?
I was never embarrassed when I would do it bigger, but I would just feel uncomfortable. I'm like, this feels weird.
I would feel embarrassed just because my like my stomach and my boobs would like stick out of the water. I mean, it's always my goal in life to have a tub deep enough that you can just like sink down.
Yeah.
Just, like just right here.
Yep.
That'd be amazing.
Right?
Exactly.
So, you mentioned that you have children.
Yes.
So how many do you have and how was your support going through all the things that you've done?
Awesome. So I have an 11-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And so they've gotten to watch mommy become a whole different person, which has been amazing because I was right before surgery, my biological father had passed away. I was dealing with some depression, some estranged family relationships, and I was just a lump on a log. Like I didn't do anything. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't talk to anybody. I did my work during the day and then I came home and it was pretty much flatline.
Okay.
And now I'm, you know, I'm fun and I get on the floor with them and I can move around. And like, I remember when I was 230 pounds at Disneyland, it was miserable. Right. And I cried afterwards because I was just like, I was tired. I was hot. I was out of breath. I couldn't carry my daughter. And I felt like the worst mom on the planet. And then 2 years ago, we went to Disney and I could do 12 hours. I could run. I was like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, and my kids were stoked because, you know, mom was still, she was here. She didn't have a breakdown and she's chilling with us. And so just being able to be physically present and have that energy level has been huge.
How did you explain to them what you were having done?
Yeah.
Right.
So, so my little one was too small to really understand because she was only three, but I did talk to my son and I just kind of said, you know, mommy's not feeling very well. My back is hurting. So I'm going to have surgery and I'm going to lose a lot of weight. And so he kind of knew. And it was funny because we were having our house built at the time. And so when we moved, I was able to physically move for 12 hours and I was still ready. I was like, let's go, let's go. So my husband's looking at me like, who the hell are you? Because normally like I'd be like, bro, I can't. But you know, they started to see that I was alive, you know, and I was there. So that made a huge difference. And my support system, strangely enough at the time. So I had surgery and then a bunch of friends of mine started having surgery. So we were all kind of like checking in on each other. Like, how's it going? Can you eat this? Have you tried that? And so just, you know, uplifting each other that way, which has been super cool.
You had your own little community.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, that's what
it's been awesome.
Weight loss surgery community is like on Instagram. Like,
it is.
It's like,
yes.
Have you guys tried this? Have you?
Exactly.
What do you think of this? Like, it's really, and it's comforting to know that you're not alone.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Like, you could text any of those people, like DM them, and they would be like, this is what I would do. Like,
you're
okay. It's fine.
Exactly.
Like, 100%.
It's constantly interesting when we get DMs and we'll answer, which. Yes. In case you guys don't know, like if you DM us, we will answer.
And it is us.
They do.
And it's
I message
us.
Y'all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
awesome.
They'll be like, I can't believe you answered. And it's like,
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're here for.
That was the whole point.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
It's for the support. And we have no team. It's us.
That's
24/7.
That's right.
Yes.
I mean, we might be getting a manager soon, but but we do all the work, you know, like that's,
everything is done by us.
Yeah.
But that's another added stress, right? work stress.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're adding, you know, I'm sure you felt it when you were, you know, adding in all of your life coaching stuff.
Mm-hmm. All the classes,
the curriculum, like,
building a business. Like, we can relate how crazy that is.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I mean, it's fulfilling, but there's definitely this, you know, and then of course the old tapes were coming in. It's like, oh, who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. You're the Barry boss. Like, you were this and this and this, you know, so all that crap goes through there. Like, I get it. Cause I still go through it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we go through it every month. Yeah. Mel has her period and then she's all, we suck.
I do.
Our numbers suck. Yay. I don't know what to do.
I'm like, so mean.
And I'm like,
to
what are you talking about? Like,
about
you're
it.
Fine.
I know. I have to look at the numbers and be like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, and just I think if you're right. Give your guys some credit too, just like as I was listening to one of the podcasts and you guys talked about how you got started and just learning and then losing your producer. Like, I was like, dang, these girls, some hustlers. Like, so be proud of what you're doing.
Thank
honestly.
You.
Won't stop.
Nope. We're That's not right. going anywhere. Not anywhere. Awesome. Not anytime. Not so anytime good. Soon. Yeah. That was an interesting time, a stressful time because we found out at midnight?
I found out at 10.
You found out at 10. I woke up at 2 a.m. and found out that he was quitting.
I know. It was funny. I was like, I went through this moment. I'm like, do I tell her? Do I message her first?
Or do I let her find out on her own at 2 a.m.?
I'm like, she might just, I wasn't sure what to do. We've never had something like that happen.
Nope.
And it was funny because my response back is hilarious because he goes through this whole thing and I'm just like, cool beans. Can I get the episodes? And I hope everything's OK. So
I think you literally just said, cool beans, get us the episodes.
I think I did. Because it's like, I don't know what to do with that at 10 o'clock at night. I was like, this is crazy because it wasn't mean, but kind of mean. And you're just like, I don't know what to do.
Well, I mean,
so it was very abrupt. It was the deal.
It was abrupt and we grew very close. I mean, when you're creating something that's very, it's your heart and soul.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you think the other person that is recording you also has that same heart and soul about it. Mm-hmm. And they don't. It's kind of almost betraying you because you're just like, what the fuck?
Well, it was funny because I think because we were chill for the first week at first. And we slowly started feeling the feelings. Mm-hmm. And I remember because I looked at him I fucking cried in front of him. I was
I get it.
I was like, God damn it. Stupid. But anyways, we made it through.
But you're still
thriving.
Yes. Yeah, you guys are doing amazing.
And I mean, I think it made us all that much stronger because we learned how to do these things on our own. And I'm kind of learning that now. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to do things for me anymore, which I am the queen of hey, can you just take care of that for me?
Because she is.
Sure.
Because I do. I love being hey, can you take care of that, please? Yeah, thank you. Yes. And I mean, obviously, there's things that I can't do. Right. I don't have the the knowledge to do.
Right.
But
I'm not going to ask you to do surgery on me. So
thank God. Thank you. I was so worried about that.
Good. No worries.
But last weekend we were drinking and normally I'll do this annoying thing where I slurp my drink right at the end of it. And I'll be shake the ice to kind of let them know hey, you're making another drink.
Right.
Here's my cup.
You'll also be do you hear this? That's what you did to me.
No, Zach did that.
No, you totally did.
No, Zach was do you hear what she's doing right now?
Oh, yeah. And I'm I'm ignoring this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so I was hey, can you teach me how to make my drink?
Yeah.
And so we went in there and after months, I finally know how to make my own drink. And so then next time I can do it myself, which, I mean, I realize I'm talking about alcohol, but it's there's a lot of things that I've kind of...
You're learning.
Yeah. And I'm I don't need no man.
And kind of go into, thank you, segue of the drug and alcohol stuff.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So if you notice that in a friend, I guess not really noticing it. What are the flags? Is it just excessive? Or is it just once a day thing?
I'm going to add on to that. Yeah. How do you talk to that person?
Ooh. Yeah, double fold. How do you recognize and how do you talk to them?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So I would probably say, depending on the strength of the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So one of my pet phrases as a friend, as a therapist, as a coach, is I'll say, do I have permission to speak freely about what I'm seeing or what I'm noticing? It's not you're doing, it's do I have permission, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm giving them the respect of saying, kind of noticing something, but I'm not sure how you're going to take it. So they're already kind of prepared. So if it's somebody that you're very close with and you're concerned about potentially some substance use, I think just saying something to that effect and just having an open conversation.
Okay.
And I think, you know, again, some of those red flags, sort of similar to the, you know, the process addiction or transfer addiction is, again, are we noticing they're not doing their day-to-day again? Like, are they a parent and they've stopped kind of handling their responsibilities as a parent? Are they slipping on the job? They're not making it to work as much. They're calling off. Are they completely absent from the social life world and they're isolating? So any of those things that you're noticing could be a red flag. And so then I'd probably just pull them aside and say, hey, you know, I'm worried about you. What's going on? You know, I think just having an honest conversation. Now, if they're truly in active addiction, they're probably going to be very defensive, probably going to get a little angry, probably going to tell you to F off, mind your business. And that's standard with addiction, because once you're in it, it's really hard to see what everybody else sees. So if you start to see someone slipping, I'd probably try to say intervene sooner than later.
Okay.
Because you might have a healthier chance of getting them to at least recognize what's going on. They may not stop, but you know,
at least you stop and said something.
You tried.
Yeah. I like the permission. Do I have permission to speak freely here? Because
it's not with you.
Yeah. Ditto. Like, it's perfect because when you feel like you've actually given the consent part, it's like, it's like you own kind of what they're about to say.
Yeah.
True.
So it's kind of nice to consent goes a long ways, people.
It does.
It's all different types of forms of it.
Well, and I'm just thinking like we work closely on a on a daily basis. And, you know, we don't always agree. And so it may, you know, that term right there just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Do I have your permission
exactly
to have a discussion about this?
Yeah.
Right.
And then you say yes. And yeah, you talk it out.
Yeah. Because I think business partners probably should do that more often, guys.
I would agree. I've had business partners, so I definitely.
There you go.
It can be the best time of your life, or it can be the worst time of your life.
Best or the worst.
Or just a little dabbles of force. There you go.
But you guys are also best friends, too. So I think, you know, there's mixing there. It can get a little interesting, but you guys, you do it well. So
thank you.
Yes. But we also, I'm not easily offended. So
it's so helpful.
Yeah. So like, I don't, there'll be certain things where I'm like, no, I really would like, I would prefer it to be like this. Or, and then there's other things where I'm like, I don't care.
And I'm like, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm like, you do you, boo, I'm because like, I don't care. And then, or if like she has to talk to me about something like that's kind of more like, not criticizing, but like,
I'll say, can I be critical right now? Actually,
critical
is what I'll say.
And I'll be like, yeah, sure. And
cool.
You know, I'll
just work
it
out.
Most of the time I have to internalize it, think on it a little bit. And then like a day later, I'll have a response to it. Yeah. But I don't get like butthurt over it. Like, I don't.
That's good.
It goes a long way. It goes a freaking long way. Cause like, that's how I've learned like how to work with you. Cause it's like, cause I allow it back too. Like I'm like, yeah, what? Let me hear it.
Awesome.
Come at me,
because I know myself.
Bring it.
Because with this journey, you can't, you figure yourself out. Mm-hmm. And you realize, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it. And I'm really sorry.
Yes.
You know, so, because with this whole process of like restricting the food and then trying to hit all these numbers all the time can just be stressful itself, you know, and you have to, and then you start learning like, oh, I do like these things. I don't like these things. And now you're like building a personality.
Or you recognize hangry, that you get hangry.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Like when Melanie threatened to kill me. It's fine.
Ooh. It's fine.
She didn't.
Okay.
I don't even remember it now. I don't even know what it was.
I don't remember either, but
I just know I said it.
Oh, no, I touched the lights. You said, if you touch the lights one more time, I will kill you.
That's true.
I was like,
got it.
Okay. And so I sat there. We did whatever we had to do. And then she was like, I'm sorry for threatening to kill you. I was like,
she came back around.
Yeah.
I was like,
I'm giving you grace. I realize that you're hangry. Yeah. Here's some food.
Right.
Can you just eat this? Thanks. Can you just
eat this? You're hilarious.
Get a little protein.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Because we've both noticed that we get hangry or very stupid when we don't eat.
Oh, for sure.
Like, and you start recognizing like the words aren't coming out like you want them to.
Absent-minded, I think, when it's been too long since I've eaten. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that wording.
Absent-minded instead of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That might be a better
I was an English major before, so, you know.
Oh, I love it. Where did you go to school at for all these awesome things?
my husband was in the Air Force. I was an overachiever. My dad, long story.
No, you can tell it.
I wanted to teach English, actually. That was going to be my dream goal.
Okay.
And so he was an officer in the military. We were planning to move all over the world. So I wanted to do something marketable. So I decided to get my master's in business. Then I got baptized and I felt like God was calling me to be a counselor. So I completely finished that master's, started another one. And then,
Wow.
So
holy shit.
It's been a journey.
Barry Boss is right.
Is real.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Done some work.
Yes. Here.
Well, it is all worth it because
you're
an amazing person.
I appreciate you guys. And I couldn't accept that 4 years ago. I wouldn't have been able to say I appreciate that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes work. Takes work. It's not just an overnight process. Every day is a little bit different.
What kind of tools did you use to get yourself there, though?
In the last 4 years, it's been a lot of soul searching.
Okay.
I had done a lot of individual counseling prior to, so just with some of the stuff that I dealt with in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then honestly, spirituality has been a huge piece, which I tie into coaching for those folks that have a belief system. We bring that in because I think your spiritual source can be a huge asset in this process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of faith walk and scripture and praying. And sometimes I say the F-bomb and I apologize. Hey, God, sorry. You know, I'm human, but really getting to understand who I was created to be.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm finally becoming who I was created to be, which is an amazing thing. So.
Yay.
Oh, that just gave me goosebumps that she figured out how to.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Did we miss anything?
I mean, I feel like we covered everything.
I feel like we covered a lot.
I think so.
Yeah. I got to know a lot about you guys, which was awesome.
Yes. So,
I know. I'm sorry we talked too much.
We do side stories a lot.
Yeah.
If it helps, we do that in real life, too.
We do. We 100% do.
Yeah, no, I just am grateful for you guys having me today.
Oh, of course. Yes, we're so excited. Yeah. And then we will have the website and your Instagram linked so that people can find you. And then we have OSLP 33. Yes.
How cool is that?
So that'll be for the Academy. So if you go on to barryboss.com. You can use that code. And like she said, it's a lifetime membership.
Well, and I think it's cool that it's like post-op. Like you can really do some stuff with this stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
Because a lot of it is pre-op.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They focus a lot more on pre-op than post-op.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to fill that gap for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because we definitely need it.
Yes.
Girl, yes. Don't we all?
Right? Right? Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. You guys, you have to look forward to more stuff with her because this is going to be fun. I'm glad that we got to meet you.
I know.
I can see this being amazing.
Yes. I can't wait until the retreat.
The retreat.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be so fun.
I'll get to meet you in person.
I know. We can hug.
Yes.
Well, remember,
hugs.
We might come down earlier.
That's right.
Yeah. So we'll let you know.
We could do the bungee fitness. We can do this.
Oh. Okay.
Light bulb.
I got you.
Light bulb's on. Yes. I love it.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Because I want to run around the room.
Right?
It's so much fun.
And it's going to be finally cool to see the people that we've been talking to through a screen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, because like we've only had maybe like a couple guests that have been able to come like down here with us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We've had two.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had two guests that we didn't really know.
Oh, yeah. Because my brother doesn't count.
Yeah. So. Your brother doesn't count. Zach doesn't count.
So it's Chloe and Stephanie.
Yeah.
And Kim. And Kim. We had three.
Oh, three. Beautiful. But Kim's my massage therapist. So
we're doing it again.
Yeah. No. Just tell us to shut up.
It's your show. Do what you got to do. Shoot.
Well, because I do actually have a couple more questions for you.
Oh.
Okay.
that okay?
Bring it on.
Well, because I forgot to talk about, like, because you're 4 years post-op, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to see, like, what does your day look like now versus like before?
So it's funny. The first year I actually was underweight. I was a size 2.
Okay.
And I'd lost too much weight. So when my surgeon, Dr. Matt, I think it was my 1 year appointment. He's like, you know, you could eat some things that you really shouldn't eat. And I was like, no. I am like a dry drunk with food. You can't say that to me because that's just giving me the license to go back to what I used to do. Because I used to hit fast food restaurants sometimes 2-3 times a day, eating secret, because I was doing in-home therapy. So I would drive 50 to 100 miles a day. So in between houses, I had my little spots that I would hit, right? And so I'd hide the food and do my thing and binge and then throw away the evidence, right?
Right.
So about a year after, I didn't work out the first year. I was too thin. So started, you know, adding a little bit more protein to my diet. And then I really started to work out again. So I used to run half marathons pre-op.
Wow.
I'd done 3. I'm not a fast runner, still not a fast runner, but I love it. It's my therapy. It's how I kind of just center myself.
Okay.
So typical day for me is I'll get up between 4 and 5. I run. Last month I did 3.1 daily every day in May. It was a challenge that one of my friends did.
Wow.
So I'm not quite as ambitious this month. I'm looking to potentially sign up for another race in February. So I'm just working more on speed training.
Okay.
So just doing some running and then a little bit of lifting, nothing crazy. I need to get back to the gym post COVID now. So, and then I'll do like a protein shake for breakfast.
Okay.
I might have, you know, some kind of a snack, whether it's like a meat and cheese roll up at work. So my full-time job, we actually, it's an inpatient facility. So we get free food at work. So I'll usually do, you know, like some chicken, some veggies, and then I might do another protein snack again in the day before I go home. And again, just some lean meat and veggies, nothing crazy, kind of a creature of habit. I do eat a lot of the same stuff. So as long as I'm trying to hit my 70 to 90 grams of protein a day, but some days I may not eat enough. So, And some days I'm not going to lie. So I just had this conversation last week. So we had some boxes of Kit Kats in the office and I was like, bro, that's a trigger. I need y'all to get rid of those boxes. And they were for the patients in the facility. So we dumped the boxes out so I couldn't see the boxes of Kit Kat anymore.
Oh, that's nice.
Cause I was just like, ugh, because I'm the type of person, like I don't crave the food anymore like I used to, but if it's in front of me, then we got a, you know, we got a little battle going on. So some days I win the battle, some days I don't. But I try to be as consistent as possible with my movement. So that's kind of
awesome. I do the same thing. Like, you don't crave stuff, really. I mean, you have your, like, nighttime chocolate craving.
Mm-hmm.
That's Built Bar has helped with that.
Yeah, they have.
Yes.
100%. Uh-huh. Can you bring the brownie back forever?
Yes.
Built Bar, please.
Yes.
It's stupid that you don't. I think I hate peanut butter, so stop putting it with the peanut butter. Yeah. Sorry. Anyways.
I got you.
Yeah. No, you feel better?
Okay.
Yeah. Freaking Built Bar, I love you, but I need
She got that money. Out.
Yeah.
She's going to come find you. Jesus. But I'm the same way you are. Like, if I know it's there, I will continually eating it until it's gone.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I feel better because it's not there anymore. Yeah. And I don't miss it when it's not there. Mm-hmm. It's just when I know you're there.
Yeah, I don't have the cravings, but it is like Sunday. Totally effed that one up because like we had the little Safeway cookies that are like amazing.
What did we say?
I lived my life. Yes, I lived my life on Sunday. That's
right.
The new rule.
Yeah.
Because
you didn't F up.
That's right. I did not. Right. I lived my life on Sunday.
Can't be perfect, right? I really think we do have to recognize this is not a perfect process. Like some days are going to be easier than others.
Yep.
But
yeah.
So just giving yourself that grace. And again, I always tell people, what am I characterized by? Mm-hmm. If I'm characterized by every single day, this is what I'm doing, that's potentially an issue.
Right.
But if periodically I do these things, you know.
Well, because like it was the whole like insight because it was on our bed.
Yes.
Because I had like the normal 2. I was like, I always have 2. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And then like a couple like 15 minutes later, I'm like, 2 more. And then 2 more. I ended up eating 8. I've never eaten 8 in my life. And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
You lived your life.
It was crazy. But I was like, okay, can you, I was like, take the box. It needs to go in a different room. Yes. I can't look at this damn thing because like I just look at it and go, yummy. Yeah. So I feel you. Like it's a
totally
deal.
Get it.
It's a deal,
it
man.
Is. So 4 years later, it's still a deal.
Yeah.
What's your favorite snack?
Favorite snack. Honestly, I think it's meat and cheese.
Yeah.
It's a weird. I just.
Nope. I'm the same way.
It's just easy. You know, and especially as a working mom, I'm kind of running around. I'm like, let me just grab my meat and cheese.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Meat and cheese and wasabi and soy sauce almonds.
So.
You're hilarious.
I might need to give that a try.
If you like wasabi.
They're so good.
That's true.
You if get you those do. Trader Joe's?
Costco.
Costco. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. Isn't it the Blue Diamond? Or Fred Meyer. But I go Costco just because they have a bigger bag of them for like the same price. Mm-hmm. So
there you go.
So we started this new question thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's in your DMs?
We did start that.
Yes. Like, so what are some questions that people DM you?
Yeah. What are the common questions?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is, you know, hey, I'm really struggling with some old habits. How can I get in touch with you to work with you as a coach?
Oh, okay. Okay.
So a lot of it is just kind of, how do I work with you? What does that look like?
Okay.
So, which has been cool. So Blossom actually advertises for me. So I get a lot of their folks and then just on regular DMs with just regular everyday folks, it's really just, so how did you get to where you are? What are some things I can do? You know, this is where I'm struggling. Depending on what their need is, I may point them to the academy or individual coaching or just give them quick advice. You know?
Okay.
So
I like that.
Yeah.
At least you got the good ones. You got good DMs.
Yeah.
So far.
So far.
Yeah.
So far.
We did the episode with the guys and that was one of our questions was what's in your DMs? And so I was like, I'm going to start asking that to all of our guests.
It's a great question.
I want to know what's in your DMs.
Well, because it was like, you know, from guys supporting guys, it was like, you know, what kind of questions are they even asking? Yeah. And it was just like, hey, that's like, huge. How do you do a workout? How do like, what are your goals? Like, and it was just like common stuff. So I'm like, this is good.
Honestly, and there's no bad question. I think we're all just trying to figure this out.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. That's true. I agree.
Yeah.
I concur.
You concur.
Mm-hmm.
She concurs, everyone.
Love it.
Alrighty. Well, I think that's a wrap. I'm good.
Love
good.
It.
You got all your questions
answered?
Got all
my questions out.
She
awesome.
Did.
Awesome. I want to make sure that you felt settled.
I'll text you later.
Awesome. Please do.
I'll see you later.
That's right. We got you.
Nice.
All right. Well.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for
this
being on.
Amazing.
Yes. I'm so glad we got in touch with each other. Mm-hmm. If people want to watch the video, they need to go to patreon.com/OSLP. Awesome. And you got to pick your tier and then you get all of these.
Yep.
So, and then we have other episodes that have dropped on YouTube. So go to our YouTube channel and subscribe and then you'll be notified. Nice. The reason why you need to be subscribed is because you got to be notified that the new stuff drops.
Exactly.
So it'll give you a little ding. You don't want to miss out on us.
Ding.
Come on now.
Yes.
That's right.
We're pretty entertaining. Just saying.
All right.
Well, thank you, OSLP family, for checking us out.
That's right.
On this new episode. And we will talk to you.
Later?
Later.
We will see
you. We will see you later.
No.
Okay. Take three.
All right. We love you guys. And we will see you
next time.
Bye.
Hey, listeners, if you've enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform that you get your podcasts. Also, check us out on patreon.com/OSLP for exclusive content with your favorite girls ever.
Yeah.
And also check out our YouTube page. Subscribe, hit that little bell so you get notified when our new videos drop a week after they are released.
Yeah, and we would like to give a big thank you to Anne-Marie Cruz for our logos, Eric Vaughn with 17th Street Studios because he provides our music and our recording space. Thanks for listening to Our Sleeve Live podcast where we are breaking that stigma one episode at a time.